Welcome back to Spirit of Design Podcast. This week our guest is Eunice Pais. Eunice is a self-taught ethical fashion photographer based in Portugal. Her journey in photography started 3 years ago with a question, can photography be responsible? Through partnering with ethical fashion brands, she was able to develop and implement environmentally and socially positive methods of work in her fashion productions. This year, she decided to elevate the initial personal project even further by creating an agency that promotes carbon neutral and regenerative systems of opportunity in photo productions. She champions ethics in image making while pushing for a more equitable industry, using photography as an agent of change. This week's episode with Eunice was a deep exploration of what it means to be a responsible photographer, artist, and storyteller. We explore things like representation and inclusion in image making and in fashion, elder wisdom, sustainability as a political, social, and artistic stance, and the need for reconciliation in the fashion industry, as well as much more. We hope that you enjoy this week's episode as much as we did. Now on to the interview with Eunice.
Spirit of Design delves deep into the unseen elements of design and holistic sustainability.
Join us, Amy and
Anya,
for open conversations with creatives, scholars, activists, and others to envision alternative design futures that are diverse, inclusive, community-centric, and in symbiosis with all life on this planet. Spirit of Design Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. I'm really excited to be able to hang out with you today and to learn a bit more about you and your work. And yeah, I'm really excited for today.
Thank you.
Well, can you start us off by sharing a little bit about yourself, where you've come from, who you've come from, and kind of what's led you up to this point today, just so our listeners get an understanding of who you are and a little bit more about you.
So physically, I was made in Israel. I was born in Portugal, Lisbon. My parents are Mozambican, of different descents, but I was born and raised in Portugal. Academically, I studied most of my life in Portugal, but then went to the UK, did my university there. I studied sciences. And then lived there for a bit and hopped around a few countries in between, like Australia, Angola, and other countries. And then in 2010, I returned to Portugal and have been here ever since. I suppose spiritually, I'm just someone who asks lots of questions and likes to try many mediums to answer those questions. As I said, I studied sciences, then I became a teacher. I'm a self-taught photographer. I started 3 years ago photographing, and my question was always, can all these jobs, these professions be done ethically and responsibly? And so my pursuit with photography was the same question, was to answer the same question. And I realized that I was so in love with it, and I still am, that I suppose this is my real calling. Yeah.
Amazing. I did not know most of that about you. I was really, wow, awesome. I didn't know you had studied sciences. That's really cool.
Yes, I did. And it was great. I loved it. And then I specialized in psychology, neuropsychology, which was amazing because it gave me so much insight. And I think the brain is like an art form in on itself. So, I was really lucky.
Interesting. That's amazing. So what was it that made you decide to pursue photography then?
Coming from an education background, being a teacher can be very competitive, sometimes super lonely, and it's very much results driven, especially at a time like now where I feel like kids are not seen as students and potential, but just seen as clients and, you know, profit. I've got tired of it. And I knew there was, no matter how much of a professional troublemaker I was, which I was, I was really lucky to have great students who were so open to think about language as a model of colonialism, especially English language and so on. I taught English, by the way. So they were really open, but I knew that I was really lonely in that sense, because I was, you know, I was as someone's employee, and that person, those people and entities had their own agenda and had nothing to do with dismantling narratives of oppression and power. So I decided to break from that, but I was always very curious about photography, and I always wanted to learn photography. My father was a good photographer. He wasn't professional, but as a hobby, he was really good. So I sort of decided to go in and teach myself how to photograph, both digital and film. And then this pressing question about, you know, can photography be responsible, not just environmentally? And the reason why I asked this question was because, you know, developing film involves a lot of chemicals and a lot of water. And I always wonder, where does that water go? Are there any, you know, processes to develop film that are more environmentally friendly or not? And then that sort of escalated into, can photography as an industry be more responsible, not just environmentally, but also socially? And that's how Quasi Australis started. I just wanted to answer that question for myself. I had the assumption that, yes, photography can be responsible, should be responsible. I just didn't know how. So I started working with ethical fashion brands because I thought that was a good way to learn, and sustainable fashion brands as well. And since I always had an interest in fashion, so kind of both of them married very well. And while working and learning a lot about industry, I sort of realized that, yes, photography can be responsible. I then developed a protocol of low waste output or carbon neutral photo shoots with a positive social impact. But I sort of realized that photography, especially commercial photography, is still too adjacent to industries and trends. And I didn't want that. I don't want that. So that's how I ended up here today with you. I'm going to open my own agency, so that not only I can create bodies of work that explore sustainability as an art form, because ultimately I am an artist, and sustainability is not just a political stance, it's also an artistic stance and historical stance, especially the times that we're living now. And I think as an artist, I have that responsibility to explore it, and explore its narratives. This agency will become an ally of those who are ethically driven, ethically minded, and want a more equitable industry, not just photography, but also fashion, more equitable fashion industry, and to elevate artists, create a safe space for artists to create ethically without, and responsibly without having to compromise their beliefs for work, for a paycheck, and elevate brands, fashion brands, to think more than just the product that they're creating, but also the images that they're perpetuating, the narratives and imagery that they are participating in, and ultimately make photography its own agent of change in the sustainability movement. Yeah.
Amazing. I love how you how that exploration of film actually started the whole journey for you.
Yes.
I mean, I guess I didn't even think of that because we're so digital these days that you kind of forget about film as an art form. So that's amazing that it kind of sparked this entire journey for you and thought process for you. You just kind of touched briefly on it at the end of what you were just saying right now, but there was a quote from your Instagram that really spoke to me and kind of for me spoke to your perspective on your work. And maybe I'm not right on this, but feel free to correct me if I'm not, but I wanted to share the quote and sure. kind of get you to expand on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the recent posts that you made, and it says, "Reconciling with the notion that in the same levels, the oppressed can oppress was pivotal to developing the responsible work that I now carry. Empathizing with the notion played an important role, as well, especially when visually exploring the stories of those who seek consumption as a means of liberation. Overlooking one's reconciliatory work when addressing sustainability is unsustainable." Can you kind of expand on that and just, yeah.
Yes.
I would love you to expand on that.
So this duality of, I'm a Black woman, so I have experienced forms of oppression. But in my lifetime, I've also, in this is most related to fashion, I've also participated in forms of oppression when I indulged in fast fashion and purchases and overconsumption. And I did that at a time where I was struggling with my mental health. I was questioning a lot of things around me. I was overworking myself. I was almost burnt out. This was when I was a teacher. And I felt that buying clothes was sort of a escapism. And once I came off of that, once I did work on myself and realized that, obviously that was a problem in on itself. I photographed with ethical brands, but I was buying from fast fashion. And briefly, I was ashamed of it. But then I realized that more than being ashamed, I needed to reconcile and understand why I was doing it. And once I did that, I went on a journey of, yes, I have, my closet is probably 60% plastic, but I'm going to learn how to look after that plastic. And I'm not going to demonize myself for it. I'm just going to find solutions for someone who probably struggles and consumes, not to have to do, have to go through that same way I did. So that's one point. That stems a lot from personal experience. And then with conversations with other like-minded people, I realized that there's still a lot of shame of levels of oppression that we are exposed and oppression that we inflict on others. And especially being a woman, it's a big duality, because I bought clothes. I used to buy clothes from fast fashion, and therefore I was oppressing women on the other end who are not treated decently. So it is a feminist issue, and I was literally participating in the most horrid form of oppression. But once I reconciled with that, I just started researching ways to sort of offset that and to not compensate, but to create work that people will never have to sort of deal with that again. So that's one. And again, speaking about my experience as a Black woman, my family are immigrants, and I know that sometimes attaining certain materialistic objects and reaching a certain level of access sort of translates into liberation for certain people. It's very hard to say, to my aunt, or maybe, my grandparents, don't buy this TV, don't buy that car, because you're just participating in a narrative that it's toxic. but for them it's like they made it, you know, they can now afford these things and they can go on shopping sprees and, you know, travel four times a year. And I understand that. And there, that's another duality in on itself, you know, where lies our liberation as Black people, Black Mozambican, Black Portuguese, and what sort of narratives are we mindfully accepting? So that's another bracket, and both of them are super pivotal to my work, because every time that I create something, I always think, what is it that I'm saying? What is it that I'm participating? These are images that are going to stay forever. Even if nobody sees it, they're going to stay forever, and they're going to be attached to my name, attached to my artistry. So it's a lot of not only research about metrics and environmental and carbon neutral and socially just productions, but it's also sort of philosophical, spiritual musings about how to reconcile with these things without not being the victim, without being ashamed of being transparent, and also create alternative systems that empower and, you know, shed light to realities that, you know, are mine but can easily be my neighbors and yours and so on.
Yeah, and I think that speaks beautifully to another quote of yours that I read, which was that there's a difference between working with responsible fashion brands and being a responsible photographer. You can tag along with the former, but you must be the latter. And I think for me, I've seen a few photographers out there who have done the tag along part, but I have not yet seen anybody who's been about being it. And so I feel like your work, to me, is you're the only person who I've seen who is about more than just tagging along with ethical and sustainable brands. But can you kind of speak to some of the challenges that you've experienced in being about it? And also, how is it that if somebody's desiring, like, if this is really resonating and they're thinking, okay, well, I'm feeling, you know, when you know differently, you are called to do differently, you have responsibility to do something about knowing differently. And so if that's somebody's experience listening to you speak right now, like, how would they even begin? Like, where do you start?
Luckily for them, I've already done the work, but...
Yes, we will add all the links because it's brilliant. You have a lot of good content on your Instagram.
So I did the tag along, you know. I started with ethical fashion brands, and I thought, yeah, I'm doing the right thing because I'm working with people who want a better future. You know, they're not just thinking about the present; they're thinking about how now affects the after. You know, and I was happy, but I was happy for like 6 months, and then I realized, huh. Because then again, that goes back. I was still buying from a Zara and, you know, not thinking really. It hadn't sunk in. So then I thought, yeah, but that's, you know, me working with them doesn't really mean that I am responsible, that I believe in these things, that I, you know, I want to have a voice in this movement. So I start thinking, yeah, that's completely different, and I don't want to be a tag along. I don't want to be, and at the same time, it was a bit at the mercy of brands, if that makes sense, because there are brands that say they're ethical, but they're not. You know, there's you know the problems in our
smoke and mirrors.
So I was like, no, you can't. That will drag me into a lot of nuances that I don't want to be dragged into. So let me just do my own thing, think about my responsibility as an artist, and let's just see. That's how I approached. Let's see how it works. Let's see if I can come up with something, with a solution, or, you know, if I have a haha moment. And that's what happened. During the lockdown, I attended this course with this Slow Factory called Sustainability Literacy, And the founder, Celine, I think it was the third class. She was just like, she's amazing, by the way. If you don't follow this Love Factory, you should. But she's just going about designing systems and how, you know, we sometimes think design is just sort of this, just elite people can, you know, do that. And she was just describing how we, on our everyday life, we design systems for, you know, to be more efficient, to be more productive, to, you know, spend time more effectively. And one of the homeworks was to design a system in whatever industry we wanted or whatever aspect we wanted. And I literally designed the pillars of this agency. I designed this agency in 20 minutes. I was so inspired. I was just like writing and drafting and drawing things. And I was just like, yes, this is it. Now I know. I realized I have a body of work. I've always thought about carbon neutral photo sessions. Every time I pitched to a client, I always thought about creating opportunities, regenerative systems of opportunities when working with people. I don't work with the same team all the time because I think that creates a bubble that is not necessarily positive to anybody. And I like creating opportunities for other people. I like seeing people. I like, you know, giving them platforms to amplify their voices. So yes, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. And I remember I called it shared responsibility system. And it was basically sort of helping ethical brands, fashion brands, alleviating some of their responsibility in terms of having to educate consumers and having to do a lot of the research on ethical image making and looking for photographers whose values are similar and so on. So I wanted to help in a way. And the more I iterated that model, I realized I'm going to help, but I'm also going to make sure that photography also has its own voice. It's also its own agent. Because if this fades away, if this is just a trend, being ethical and you know, ethical fashion brands, I want photography to be ethical from now on. For there to be sort of a vessel and sort of a channel or an alternative, you know, to photography, that is ethical. Because that is sustainable. To be ethical is sustainable. To create opportunities to other people is sustainable. To ask brands, what are they doing, to be more transparent and holding them accountable regarding their supply chain, that's sustainable. To push them to be more responsible because there's still people living in dire conditions. And there are skilled artisans and they're not seen and they're not respected. I can do that. I can sort of holding myself accountable and being transparent. There's nothing stopping me than to, you know, hold other people accountable as well, especially when I have a model that works. So that was sort of what happened. And this was during lockdown. Yeah. I'm sorry. What was the second part of the question?
Oh, and sorry, I was just getting lost in your
words. I get lost.
No, it's amazing. I was just hanging on to every word. I'm just going to respond and then I'll give you my second question because I kind of want to go a bit further here. It's really interesting that that's your perspective on things because I think for a long time it seems as though photography has kind of not been held responsible for mm-hmm. its role in the fashion system.
Yes.
But if you think about it, I mean, you could argue that photography is what makes fashion fashionable.
Yes.
That makes sense because definitely. It is the storytelling part. You can take a dress that looks, I mean, less, frankly, hideous. And,
yeah.
And if you photograph it right, it all of a sudden becomes the it item.
Yes.
If that storytelling is done well, then that's the buy-in for
yes.
the consumer is the photography
yes.
and the storytelling that goes along there. And so it's really, I think it's really important and it's, you know, it's such a hugely overlooked part of the puzzle.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And every time that I ask, you know, I understand if I ask my clients and people who are fashion designers, hey, what do you think about photography? Most of them say, I don't think about photography. I'm too worried with, you know, finding the best fabrics, working with the best partners, you know, being zero waste, making sure that everybody gets paid. They don't think about, and they don't have to think about photography. It's up to me, the photographer, to think about photography. It's up to me to inform people, hey, you know what? Photo productions are wasteful, especially the bigger ones, but there's a way to go around it. And also, by photographing, the actual act of photographing, I'm clearly stating that I participate in the standard of beauty, whether it be, you know, the teenage white adolescent wearing clothes that only my mother can afford, or, you know, whatever it is, I'm actively participating in that. And do I want to do that? Is that how I want to go about my career? And to be frankly, the answer was no. So what now? And okay, so now I'm going to create things that I want to see. I want to photograph my mother. I want to see 70-year-old women who have lived this life, have gone through revolutions after revolutions, and are here, you know, and are still participants. And I think one of the most problematic narratives in any aspect of society is that as soon as we hit a certain mark in development or history, we then look for the next generation to sort of solve the problem or pave the way. Mm. And it's all well and good. You know, I remember when I was in that position as a millennial, when I was just before starting work, people were looking up to me to, you know, you're the future and you're gonna do this and your generation that and blah, blah, blah. And now with the next generation, but I think, what about, you know, my mom's generation did so much and they're not seen. I don't see them in magazines. I don't see them in editorials. I don't see them anywhere. And when I do see an over 40-year-old, they look younger than their age. So we're still perpetuating something that is super toxic. And I don't want that. I don't want that. But I know that there's few of me. So I had to create a space that I could sort of put my foot down and say, trust me, I'm responsible. I'm skilled. I'm a good photographer. I have a vision, and you trust me, and I have tangible. So you can trust me. Give me your clothes and I'll create stories and it will all be okay. And you can say that you are so ethical that the image making is ethical, you know? And isn't that beautiful?
Mm. I just really appreciate how you have taken control over what, you know, how you story tell and what narratives you do or do not perpetuate, you know. I think it's so needed for right now. And yeah. I mean, I had a question here, and I think we can go a little bit deeper on it right now. Sure. But we've kind of been touching on it this whole time. But you know, I want to talk a bit more about representation and inclusion in fashion spaces. And you know how I feel about those words. I hate them. But to use industry speak, we'll say representation and inclusion. And it's been such a huge topic this year with the Black Lives Movement gaining international recognition and kind of forcing us all to confront our own biases, as well as COVID-19, because it's really highlighted the inequity in the fashion industry, which we all knew was there, but it's just so in our faces.
Yeah.
In a way that we can't keep ignoring anymore.
Yes.
And I just kind of want to go a bit deeper there and talk a bit more about what do you think is the responsibility of photographers in contributing to greater visual representation of those who aren't represented or are left out of fashion imagery?
Yes.
And how can they advocate for that in their work?
Yes. So that's a very nuanced topic, as you know, and we've talked about this many times. So first of all, I think the first question, I'm question driven. So the first question is, if you go about commercial job, whatever photo shoot that you go, and, you know, black people, people of color, brown people are not trending as models. We have to be honest. Yeah. Ask, is it because it's a trend or is it because there's actual change, on the way or happening? And you as a photographer, where do you sit with that? Do you think it's performative or not? And do you want to go along with it? I think those questions are fundamental because I see a lot of photographers now photographing black and brown models, but that might not mean anything, or it might mean everything, you know? And for example, if you go on my feed, there's a lot of white females and there's a lot of Latinas and some black people. So you can look at my feed and think, oh, you know, she doesn't care. So I think we need to be very careful. I said once that to me, social media is just the end point of my work. It's literally the end. Once I do all the research, once I do carry on a photo session, once I calculate carbon footprint and social impact, then I can post a photo. You know, that's done. So you can look at it and think, oh, she's not doing anything. But really, I am. The same way that someone on the other side, another photographer, can be photographing lots of black models, because whoever his client or her client, that person's client is saying, oh, I want black people and I want an influencer of color and this and that. So we have to be objective. We have to be critical about questioning what we're seeing and what's going behind it. That's first. I think that's really important. And when it comes to, you know, all those words, inclusion and diversity, to me, it's more about supply chain, to be honest, because more about who's making the clothes. Because as I said, between garment workers and farmers, people who actually, you know, make our clothes and plant the seeds of our clothes and whatnot, they're super overlooked. I feel sometimes they're just this idea that we have, that we need to help address, but we're not actually doing much about it. So I work on a background, trying to ascertain responsibility within myself and others who work with me, who I collaborate and partner up with, to see how far is their knowledge of their supply chain and how farther can it be, and how can we find a way to document this? Because that's what I really, really, really want. Ultimately, I'm opening this agency and there are steps, but ultimately I want it to be a production of from farmer to closet, all done ethically. And we have to see these people. I want to know who watered the seeds of my linen t-shirts. I want to see the craftsmanship of the garment worker who sewed in, you know, the embroidery. That's what I want. And that to me is equity, inclusion, and diversity. That's what I want, you know. So the obviously when it comes to models, I break a lot of rules. I photograph, you know, my mother. A couple of weeks ago, I photographed a dancer who's literally half my size. And she was so nervous. She's like, I'm not a model. I was like, trust me, it's good. And it was an editorial, you know? So I'm comfortable breaking the molds of beauty standards, but that's not really what I'm about. I want equity at this, you know, the core level, the spiritual level, the, you know, where it matters level, you know?
Mm. Yeah, not surface equity.
Yes.
I mean, it's very easy to do the smoke and mirrors thing. And like you said, it can be tokenistic or it could be real change. But if it's just about the models and that equity and diversity, I'm putting it all in air quotes, diversity and inclusion is not holistic and doesn't extend, isn't cyclical and doesn't include the entirety of everybody who's involved, then it's not It's, yeah.
It's yes, like, yes.
The real thing, is it?
Yeah, it isn't. It isn't. And then, you know, if you go, I mean, we could have a conversation for days about modeling agencies and their practices and whatnot. I mean, yeah, we need more creatives to step up, basically. It can't be just fashion designers and, you know, a group of, you know, people. It has to be all of us. From the designer who designs the logo for the fashion brand, the ethical fashion brand, to the photographer, to, you know, logistics. It has to be. We have to step up.
Mm.
And that's yeah. That. Yeah.
Absolutely. There was you touched on before, you were talking about how fashion can be very have a very youth kind of centered view of beauty, and also how, I guess, as you know, for us it was being the millennials when we had our time, it was we were the future, as you said.
Yes.
There's a quote that you shared on your Instagram that really stuck with me, and I think I don't know, personally, coming from a culture where our elders are valued, it really stood out to me. But there was a quote that you shared that said, if our purpose is for a fundamental shift in the current climate crisis, how can we dismiss entire generations in our conversations?
Yeah.
And I can see you visually representing this with your photography, with the photos of your mom, which are just absolutely stunning, and it made me feel quite emotional when I look at them. But yeah, I don't know. Let's dive into this, because I think we're really missing a piece of the puzzle here by dismissing the knowledge and the wisdom that our older generations can teach us.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's another topic in on itself, isn't it? I think, yes, we are dismissing chunks of knowledge, and it's not just knowledge, it's precious knowledge, it's ancestral knowledge. It's almost weird dismissing the key to this predicament. And so to me, sometimes it angers me so much, but at the same time, it empowers me in a way that I want to break all these rules, because I think when I talk to my mom, and during lockdown, my dad passed away when I was young, so I was really worried about my mother. She lives alone, so I went to spend some time with her, and then borders were closed and we were stuck together. So we start digging sort of in our family history, and she started talking about my grandmother and my grandfather, and sort of, you know, before colonialism, people's names and like marriage and relationships. And I was so taken, and I was so saddened, that I told her that I promised her, listen, I'm going to do everything in my power to make you and your generation be seen, because you are history, and you hold so much power and so much knowledge, and especially regenerative knowledge, which is something that sometimes we miss. We do have knowledge, you know, academically, personally, and whatnot, but is it regenerative? Can it go back to this planet as, you know, good energy? Can it be kept in this world as good energy, you know? And sometimes I look at my mother and I look at my aunts, and I come from a, especially her side of the family, super matriarchal. And everything that they do, they don't think, they don't have the words like we probably do, but it's so regenerative, the way that they work the land, the way that, you know, they use fabrics. And one of the things that happened during lockdown was, me and my mom, when we traveled, we always, especially if we're in African countries, we get cloths. And in her country, there's a term called kapulana, which is just fabric with amazing prints, and it's cotton. It's like wrap dresses. So you don't have to sew in anything. You just wrap yourself around those fabrics. And as we were, so we had a pile of it at home, as we were touching it and, you know, talking about her stories, she started crying. She's like, you know, I can wear any of this when I was in Mozambique because of colonialism. I couldn't dance, I couldn't speak the dialect of my town. And I still am so emotional about it. I was just, oh my gosh, really? And she was crying. She was like, this is my story. Where is my story? And I was like, okay, I'll get you your story. And I will, definitely. And obviously that extrapolated into other conversations about, you know, how land was worked, how did they do, you know, how they hunted, and how did they see nature, and how did they see things around them. And it was sort of an awakening on my part as well, because growing up, my parents were always so worried for us to be as Western as possible, as means of protection, as means for us to have the best opportunities. And so they kind of dismiss themselves as pivotal parts in this ecosystem, that I think it's our job to get that back as well. And if we really want to solve our predicaments that we all participated in, we need to look back and go get that knowledge and put it into use now. I don't see another way of solving these issues. And also the woman you were talking about the other day about, you know, how people treat killing animals and, you know, the hunt, and how it's so respectful and how ritualistic it is. I mean, I don't know. It's just we are forgetting about, you know, history that has more to it than just what we see on pages and what we sometimes fantasize about and glamorize and romanticize about. You know, there's actually knowledge, like practical, tangible knowledge that could be to use nowadays. Yeah, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's easy to kind of think that you know, that this segment of our conversation was tangential to photography, but I think that our elder generations really know about storytelling and about deep listening. And so there's a lot that we can bring in and learn when we talk about image making and about storytelling from them, because we've lost the skill of, as a collective, we've lost the skill of listening and we've lost the skill of storytelling. And today I was having a conversation about the importance of listening and the cadence of a conversation. And I think that's something that our elders can teach us, and it can translate really well into our work as storytellers or as image makers for yourself. And I also think another point that came up when you were speaking about your mom is the importance of reconciliation, like we touched on earlier, but reconciliation of the fashion industry and all the pain and hurt it's perpetuated, and, you know, those colonial ideas that have been perpetuated throughout fashion. There needs to be a moment of reconciliation, because we cannot continue to move forward the way that we have without having those moments of reconciliation. And I think that's an essential part of the work that needs to be done if we want to become quote unquote sustainable.
Yes.
And when we're talking about, like, the other point that came up for me is that when we talk about our elders and the knowledge that they hold, it's not about us going back and extracting information so that we can bring it forward into Western context and further extract things from different cultures and from our elders, but it's actually about bringing our elders and actually just sitting at their feet and having the humility to listen and to learn from them and to invest the time and actually, you know, elevating their voices and understanding, like, what wisdom do we have to learn here? How can we respectfully learn that from you without being extractive about the process, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if that was my response. Sorry.
No. You put it so eloquently. And I told you my life story, and that was my, you know, you just sum it up in two lines, which is amazing. Yes, more than extracting, is putting them when we talk about amplifying people's voice, for me, it's all the spectrum. It's everyone's voices. It's not just, you know, the 25-year-olds of this life who may have lived a lot, may have not, you know, but my mother has lived. She has things to say and to tell and to narrate that are important and they're valid today. And you know, a 70-year-old is still a very active person. It's not like she can't do anything, you know? So it's not like I can sit and take notes of her knowledge and then apply it. She can actually do things. There's skills there that can be used and applied and observed and learned from. And in terms of representation, one of the reasons we had so many meaningful conversations, but my mom stopped buying clothes years ago. She's a great seamstress, so she can make her own clothes, but she doesn't even do that. Like, she reuses everything that she has, and she mends clothes and whatnot. She avoids buying. So I asked her, you know, now that I work in fashion and, you know, she sees a lot of nice clothes and whatnot, I asked her, why did you stop buying clothes? She said, because I don't see myself in them. I don't want to look like a 50-year-old. I want to look like a 70-year-old. You know, I don't want, every time that I see, you know, an editorial or I open a magazine, it's not for me. I don't want crop tops. You know, I don't want culottes. I want something from, you know, I don't see myself, not only in color, in age, but in any aspect. So no, I'm not going to participate in that. And that to me was really telling of how much work we have to do in the fashion industry. Yeah,
there's so many people who just go invisible in this system that just are, it's as if nobody outside of the age ranges of 20 to 30 exists.
Yeah.
And definitely if they're not of color, and definitely if they're, you know, bigger or whatever or smaller. Yes,
and then sizing is another issue. Oh my gosh. There's a lot of work. Basically, there's a lot of work. So so that's why it's needed for different voices from different parts of the industry to say, okay, I can do that. I can be of positive change in this regard of sustainability, and, you know, all together with a collective purpose. Otherwise, it will be almost impossible.
Yeah, and I'm just really in awe of your work and your thought process, and just so thankful that you've taken up the mantle. Because I think it's essential that this area, I'm just really, really thankful that this is what you have been called to, and that there's now, we call it like a widow, like a challenge out there to all the other photographers, because I think, you know, it's that saying that once you know, you can't unknow, and exactly. With knowledge comes responsibility, and I think that's what you are doing. You are, you know, making it unknowable for others. And I think that's really, I don't actually have any other words except to say that I'm really thankful for you and your work.
Thank you. Yeah. And it wouldn't happen if it weren't for you and Anya as well. I mean, conversations that we had they did lay out the plan that it is what I'm doing now. And gave me so much clarity, especially I'm a visual person, so sometimes it's really difficult to translate visuals into words or vice versa. And you helped, and you're helping me with so much with what you're doing and your work. And I love the way that you just ask questions, your willingness to be vulnerable and not having all the answers, and be open to other people, and creating safe spaces for people just, you know, manifest what is it that they want to see change and what is it that they want to participate in. It's just amazing. So thank you for your amazing work.
Thank you so much. Well, before we close, I'm going to leave it for you if you have any last comments that you want to share. And then I'm just going to, in our show notes, I'm going to include everything, the links to your website, the links to your Instagram. If you've been listening and you want to learn more about how to go about the actual process of being more responsible in your photography, then Eunice's page is literally a wealth of wonderful resources. There is some brilliant, brilliant step-by-step videos in there, and you can go through and really work your way through them. So some great resources there. So I'm going to add all of that in. But if there's anything that you just want to leave on, or if there was anything we didn't cover that you want to mention, then please feel free to share that now.
I think this is for all my fellow photographers, amazing creators, and I mean everybody. It's not just for my fellows, but everybody, is that I understand how sometimes we want to be so big, and especially in the art industry, you know, we want to participate in exhibitions and we want to be featured on Vogue. And you want to have everything that is associated with that life, because sometimes it means no more financial worries, and it's really important for us as a collective to understand that sometimes it's not our choice, it's a system's choice. So we have the power to create alternative systems to that idea of whatever it is that we think should be or is in actuality. So I would like to urge every person to just think deeply about their reasons, their whys, their behaviors, why they do what, why they buy clothes, why, they buy a Vogue and they crave for, you know, that ideal of beauty or that garment and whatnot, just to go deeper. Because if we don't understand our whys, whatever we do outwardly doesn't last. So I would like to call out for people to go inward, not because it's trending, but because we want a better future, don't we? We want peace, and we want reconciliation. And there's no shame with admitting to admitting our mistakes and our shortcomings. It's about reconciliation. It's about understanding that we participated in this, we created that, and now we can have, once we have that reconciliatory mindset, now we can create solutions, because there's no point. We can't solve anything if we're in the same mindset that in the same mindset that we created the problem. It just doesn't make any sense, you know. So I don't know if that makes sense. I just ask people to question more their motivations. I think that's a great way to start. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for today, for making time, for sharing your wisdom with us. And yeah, I've really appreciated it. And it thoroughly enjoyed every second of this call with you. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's conversation.
For today's show notes, to get in touch or sign up to our mailing list, you can find links at the bottom of this episode page.
And if you are new to our community, then head on over to our Instagram at sustainability5.0 and our website www.sustainability5.world. And follow along to stay up to date with our upcoming online and in-person events.
If you found value in today's conversation, then we would so appreciate it if you would subscribe and leave us a review. Through this, you're helping others to find these important conversations.
Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.